This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, happy Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for November 18th, episode 2314, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse people.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
Well, that's right. It is Monday, and we are 2 weeks away from Radiothon, which just gave me heart palpitations, to be honest.
It's scary for you. It's fun for the rest of us.
So our last day for entries for the voicemails is today. I think we two things we've had a record amount of. I added $1,500 more in prizes over the weekend. I'm done taking in prizes now. We have over $8,300 in prizes we're giving away. What other podcast gives away $8,300 in prizes in one day?
Actually, I'm going to add a prize, so make it $8,500.
Okay. What are you adding? A free lesson?
No. I'm getting somebody to add something.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yes, okay. I thought you were giving a free clinic away.
No. That's not going to happen. I don't do clinics for money, so it's good.
So, yeah, I mean, 83, that's a record. That is the most. And we've had a record number of voicemails. I think there's like 160 now. So now you'll know what my entire day tomorrow will be doing, sorting through those puppies. There were some really good ones where I'm going to have to send out to the host to vote on the opening song. You know how it's always the big deal to be picked for the opening song?
Well, special prizes.
There's a couple that are really, really good, and I can't decide. So I'm going to send it out to all the hosts and let you guys decide. But yeah, over 8,300 in prizes. This is the last chance to get your voicemails in. Then the only other way to win is to call in on Radiothon Day and enter by calling. So that's coming up. I am getting excited, but it's a lot of work between now and then. For Jemmy gets dumped on, and Jennifer gets dumped on. And
you notice that we used to have a producer for the show, you guys, and they quit.
Yeah, that's right. They're not doing this anymore. That's not
Jen quit.
True. She's in there working hard on other stuff. We're recording 9 shows between today and tomorrow for the network. That's just crazy. So
that's fantastic.
It's also next week's Thanksgiving, so you know we have to load everything up and do that. But so it's going to be a busy couple days here at HRN headquarters, and it's absolutely beautiful, by the way, here. I don't know what it's like there, but it's absolutely beautiful here in Florida. 50 degrees and sunny.
So, nice.
Yeah,
you know what? That's kind of what it is here.
Is it? It warmed up a little.
Yeah, we had a nice weekend, beautiful day, got lots of horses ridden. It was fantastic. I hope everybody else had at least a bright spot. Those of you living up in Michigan and North Dakota and Maine and other parts of the world that it's freezing right now, I'm so sorry. I hope you have a better... I don't know. I don't know what to tell you right now. But you're just kind of screwed.
I hope it gets better in 4 months.
You know what? Right now, I hope you guys are having lots of chocolate and bonbons sitting on the couch.
There you go. There you go. HolidayRadiothon.com if you want to get your entries in at last minute today. All right, Daily Winnie time. Daily Winnies. We have a bunch of these.
Happy birthday.
first of all, to my friend Johnny Robb, who's a PR person in the horse world, who sent in $1,500 worth of more prizes over the weekend for companies that she represents. So thank you to Johnny. Appreciate that. And also a bunch of auditors. We have Terry Golson, Kayla. Can't read today. Kayla Tibay? How do you say her last name?
You guys just know that he's going to screw up.
Okay, you try it. What do you think that last name is?
Tibay.
Is it Tibay? Ellen Ettinger, Sumiko K, and Christine Waldron.
Christine, that's not a hard name to
pick. I know. I don't know. I'm tired today. I'm really tired.
It's a badge of honor.
Yes, it's extra special if I screw up your name.
Well, it's not, because you do everybody's name wrong.
So we're going to switch. You're going to start reading their birthdays. I'm going to do something else.
Not going to happen. Belvoir Bay gets my daily Winnie. This story has been going around a lot, and finally I had the mental capacity to read it, because I just knew it would be really emotional for me to read it. This is a story of a horse that was in the wildfires at the San Luis Rey Training Center. Remember the Lilac Wildfire
Fire last year?
2017.
Yeah, okay.
When they had to let all
that. Yeah.
Yeah, they had to let all the racehorses out of the training center, and a lot of them, over 450 horses, were evacuated or released. And 46 of them didn't even make it because of the fire. Well, she was a horse that was released, and they found her. You know, a couple days later, they said that the owner said he didn't even recognize her, because they were getting pictures and they're like, that can't be her. She had burns like all over half her body. She went to the hyperbaric chamber and she made this comeback and then started racing. And she has won 12 of her 28 career starts, earning an estimated $1.7 million. Whoa. In the process. Okay. So she has been amazing. And then she just got sold at Fazek Tipton, and she brought $1.5 million.
Whoa.
I know. It's just awesome. Amazing horse. Amazing story. She went to the Breeders' Cup. She set a record there. I mean, she's just been an unbelievable horse. So congratulations to
her.
It's
a long way from running away from a fire, huh?
Running away from a fire, then going in the Breeders' Cup, and then we'll run it. Oh my God, just an amazing story, Belvoir Bay. So I read the story on CNN. Like, when do you read racehorse stories on CNN?
Unless they're bad. Yeah, exactly. That's right. Well, speaking of competition, the World Equestrian Games is not going to happen in 2022. They've instead divided it up among several venues. It was officially announced that their FEI is holding their big get-together meeting, and they're doing it in Russia this year. And it was confirmed that jumping, dressage, para-dressage, and vaulting will be staged in Denmark in August 2022. The Danish city that they picked runs a qualifier for the World Cup each year. It's pretty much set up for this. Previously hosted a multidiscipline equestrian event in 2013. So we'll have four of the disciplines all in one place in 2022. And then Italy was chosen. Say the name of that town.
I don't.
Pratone di Vivaro? Anyway, it will host a venue for eventing and also for driving.
Pratone di Vivaro.
At you. That's perfect. So that's going to be in September of 2022. They're going to do eventing and driving there. And that particular venue has hosted competitions in the past. It was the home of the 1960 Olympic Games and also the home of the driving championships and singles in 2006 and 2010. So it's done both. It's done eventing, done driving, and that's where they're going to hold those two. Now, you might be asking, well, where is reining and endurance? Well, this is what they said. The FEI board agreed unanimously that any decision on the FEI World Championships in endurance and reining should be postponed pending the outcome of discussions and voting in relationship to both discussions, with a major revamp of endurance rules to be voted on by the General Assembly. If you remember right, endurance had a bit of an issue at the last World Equestrian Games. It was just a mess. I mean, it was a cluster. And they've had a lot of problems since then, and they're just dealing with a lot of crap right now in the endurance world, and they're trying to change the rules, and the FEI, I don't think the FEI knows what to do with it. And then
I'm telling you, it's just, I know that this is going to be terrible for the spectators, but gosh, it just seems like it's going to be a heck of a lot easier for everybody else.
Yes, right. Reining also, remember, Reining pulled out of the FEI, the reining here in America pulled out of the FEI, and it's been a bit of a mess. I don't think they know what to do with reining either. So the other sports are going to happen over two different locations. And
isn't it because reining, they didn't want somebody else policing their sport or something?
Yes. So,
nothing wrong with that. Nothing scandalous going on there. Hey, you know what? It's too much government.
Sounds like
another equestrian sport.
Discipline that we're talking about.
Another
lately.
Discipline.
Yeah. But yeah, Herning, Denmark, I think that'd be a fun place to go to watch because the Danish know how to do horse sport. So that would be kind of cool to go. I've never been there.
I would go to Italy, Denmark, anywhere that I'll just go to all of them.
Okay. All right. You're going to be our reporter. Let me volunteer
to be your roving reporter.
So I think that looks like fun. But yeah, the World Equestrian Games all in one location. Not happening. No. Not happening. All right. Now, they did say also that the World Championships for Paralympic, for jumping, eventing, dressage will all count toward qualifiers for the Olympic Games in 2024, which I didn't realize is coming back to Paris. I didn't realize that the French were getting... All I can think of is that opening ceremony in France the last time where all of the girls were in those big plastic bubbles. Do you remember that?
I can't say I remember that.
It was the most bizarre opening that I've ever seen was the last one in France. It was just bizarre.
It's art, Glenn. It's art.
It
you
was
just
something.
Don't understand it.
No, I didn't understand it. That's for sure. I don't think half the world understood it. So yes, the Olympics are coming back to France. One other thing, and then we have some first world equestrian problems. I don't know if you had anything fun from over the weekend. We haven't really had a chance to talk, but the HRN store is in full operation. Apparently, thanks to our friends over at Distance Info, they are getting things done over there and getting them done. The embroidery is being done really quickly. I've seen the first pictures of saddle pads with the HRN logo. You can get the Horses in the Morning logo as well. We finally got our stickers in. There's 4x4 stickers you can get to put on your horse trailer or your tack trunks or wherever you want of the HRN logo or the Horses in the Morning logo. They're only, I think, a couple bucks. So you can get those shipped to you if you want. So there's a bunch of different things, jackets and coats. And so if you have an HRN fan and that you know that you need to get something for Christmas, then head over to hrnstore.com. All right. Anything fun from the weekend? I saw you were playing with a new horse.
Yes. Well, I talked about him on Friday. His name is AJ Daylight, and AJ Daylight, kind of a bummer. He had some, at some point in his life, he did not have very good foot care, and he had some pretty big holes where like abscesses had blown, and it seems like they weren't treated very well. And then he got sent back to the rescue. And so I brought him here, and I've just noticed he's not completely comfortable making like turns. Like if he's turning and that defect from the abscess is on the inside, he's just not comfortable. So we're getting special shoes for him. And so my farrier came over. And this rescue is like taking care of everything. Horse and Hound is awesome.
Are you in charge of that?
Yeah, no, I'm not in charge of that, thank God. But yeah, so my farrier came over and measured him. So he's getting these special like custom shoes. They're just bar shoes, but just to help give him a little extra support behind the heel to like help these until the foot grows out. And so while I'm waiting on that, I haven't really wanted to push him. So I taught him the mounting block lesson, and he now comes, you step out on a mounting block, man, that horse will come from a mile away. Hello, you're up there. I'd like to come over and get scratches. So it's been really, really fun to spend the weekend basically training a horse at a walk. It's been really challenging for me and kind of interesting to see what I could get done while the horse is just walking.
Well, and was this one completely trained or?
Oh, no, this is one that, well, see, I forget you weren't here on Friday. We talked about him quite a bit. He was crazy. He was adopted. He's been adopted out twice. The first time the adopter moved to, I think, Greece. And the way that the thing is, if you can't sell him, you know, you give him back to the rescue. So they got him back. And then he was adopted out again by some barrel racers. And apparently they said he's crazy and they sent him back. And this horse is far from crazy. I mean, all he wants to do is learn. I think what people don't realize sometimes when you get a horse off the track is that these horses, they don't know anything. You know, you can put somebody up on their back and they don't freak out, but they don't know how to turn. They don't know how to steer. They don't know how to stop. They don't know how to back up. They don't know what legs wrap around.
Because they've been on the track, they know all that stuff.
Yeah, you have to really break it down and kind of start them completely over. And that's what I did. I haven't had one problem. I mean, he's a chestnut thoroughbred, you know, so he's, of course, has high energy, but he's so easy to channel with the energy and stuff. He's just been awesome. I mean, he's just fantastic. So I don't understand. Sometimes we talk about how dangerous it is to label horses and label people in the same kind of vein. So we talked about that on Friday with Debbie. But he's just been a joy. I've really enjoyed working with him. I've had three from this place and all three have been so completely different. It is just amazing. So just funny how one breed with basically the same background, three horses, completely different. All of them, their personalities. It's been really fun to kind of have to use my brain and figure out what these horses are telling you when they come in. What does something hurt? Is something bothering them? What holes do they have? What has been done to them? What do they remember from the good and the bad? You know, and trying to break them down before you build them back up. It's been a fun challenge.
And because we don't have a producer, we're really bad at our job and forgot to tell you what's coming up on today's show.
No, we didn't. I thought you skipped right past that. I kind of thought we were not doing that anymore.
No, I think we probably should. All right. So we got Lee McLean coming up. She is from Alberta, Canada, which I just want to go to Alberta. It just sounds like the coolest place, literally and figuratively. And she actually does Western side saddle. And I've never even heard of Western side saddle, but apparently it's a thing. So we're going to be talking about her about Western side saddle and also about Alberta. I think that's going to be cool. I saw pictures on her Facebook page and it looks chilly there. It does look chilly.
It's chilly except for like the last week in July.
Yes. And also Deanne is coming on from Horse Nation. She'll be here talking about the stories of the day over at Horse Nation, all coming up at today's show. We have some question first world problems, which Jamie, you can get ready for those right now while I cover this one story. I just wanted to tell you about this. I saw this posted over the weekend. I thought it was interesting, and why people haven't thought of it before, I don't know. But there's this place in England called the Stable Stays Hotel. What they've done is they've connected bedrooms to stables, to stalls, so that the bed seems to be raised up like a bunk bed. You climb up into bed, and it's right beside the stall. So the horse can put his head up and say hi to you while you're sleeping. And they're charging people a lot of money to stay in their barn in this bedroom that's connected to the stall. And they're calling it therapy. And they say from the top bed, you can stroke or chat to your heart's content or feed the horse's treats. Just remember to get some sleep. So it's for the diehard horse lover.
Let me stop you here. Yes. Don't say anything negative right now because I want to talk to these people.
I'm not going to. I want to know why nobody's come up with this before. They call it Stable Stays, the Frisian sleepover. So of course, because what do we always say about Frisians in the movies? That's the only horse they ever have. So it makes sense that the first one of these would be Frisians. Guests can spend up to two nights sleeping alongside an equine. They can even bring their own horse along for the holiday too. Bedrooms from £250 per night are self-catered and come equipped with a mini kitchen, shower, and an eco toilet at Green Bank Farm in Cartmel, Cumbria. So all of that is available right now.
Let me get this straight. When it says self-catered, that means you're on your own.
You bring your own food, yes. That's right.
That's a very fancy way.
We're not providing anything but the bed by the stall. And if you go, I put the link there. If you go and look at the pictures, you're going to see that you are sleeping right beside like the top of the stall so the horse can put his head over. And let me just tell you, you do not want to do that in range of Scooter's mouth at all, because your blankets will be off.
Not fancy.
No, it's not fancy. No, not fancy.
Let's get them on. I have got to hear more about this.
But aren't you surprised this hasn't happened elsewhere?
Do you really want my answer?
No. Okay. No, I don't really. All right. Let's do some first world problems.
Just remember that if you have an equestrian problem, it is a first world problem, because that is the life that we are all living. These are all I did not make these up. I am not clever enough to make all these monstrous, tremendously terrible things up. These are actually submitted by our auditors. If you want to submit first world problems, just be an auditor, horseradionetwork.com. All right. The first one was sent in by Ursina, and it's really sad. She said, my friend went to the tech store for me and bought several things, but we both work full time, so I don't know when I get to see all my stuff. Samantha says, I really want to request
for a horse person. Not seeing their stuff is a nightmare.
I mean, I don't know. At least somebody else going would, you could give them a list and they might stick to it. Cause I wouldn't stick to a list at a tech shop. Samantha says, I really want to request off for Radiothon, but it's during the holiday hell blackout period and I have to rely on my boss's good nature. And I was like, what the hell is a holiday hell blackout? And she said she works in a bakery.
Oh yeah. I guess you're going to be kind of busy at that point.
Yeah.
Holiday hell blackout. Samantha posted a picture. She does this every year in the auditor room. She posted a picture, I don't know if you saw it this morning, of the cakes that she's baking right now because it gets so busy, and there were like 100 cakes there.
Can't you not pre-bake like too far out? Or
no, they would get stale.
Bad?
Yeah, they would get stale. So she said some nights they get there at like 2 and they're baking just nonstop.
Oh my God. I could either would eat all the cake or never eat cake again.
Right. One or the other. I talked to somebody who worked over the weekend who had worked at an ice cream store. And I said, I hear people work at ice cream stores get sick of it. She said, no, I had to quit.
I know. Everybody I know that worked at ice cream store gains 15 pounds immediately.
Yeah. And they have a wrist the size of a baseball bat.
Yeah. Carrie says, several people at my barn don't ride a lot in the winter and they've offered their horses to me to ride, but now I have too many awesome horses to ride for free this winter and not enough time for them all. Let me tell you something, that'll change you start charging them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're all of a sudden you're gonna have a lot of free time.
Mm-hmm. Kristen says, I really wanted to go to Iverness yesterday, but there are no trains in the Highlands on Sunday. And I was like, what is she talking about? And then she goes on to say that I'm on vacation in Scotland.
Inverness. Yes.
Inverness.
Yeah.
Is that how it's
yeah. Their sister city of Inverness is right below us here in Florida.
You were just there in Inverness, weren't you?
No.
Leah says, my God, you know what? I've heard this one before and it's so worth repeating. I will always read this one anytime we get it. And this is, my daughter and I won so many ribbons this weekend that we have no room on our ribbon wall to hang them.
Maybe if they wouldn't give ribbons to 20th place now, it would help that problem.
Why? I paid a lot of damn money for that 7-cent ribbon. You better give me you know what? I'm still mad at the Thoroughbred Makeover because they only gave ribbons to 10th and I came in 11th.
Did you want a participation ribbon?
I got a participation
ribbon. Oh, did you?
Yeah, you get a participation ribbon and a saddle pad when you get there. And then I was one half of 1 point away from 10th place.
Another saddle pad to add to your collection.
You can never get enough. Jessica says, I can't decide what to spend my $100 Dover promo gift card on that I got when I bought my new helmet. And it has an expiration date, so I have to choose soon. And then there began a ginormous 400 comment discussion on what to buy.
What to buy.
Stephanie says, I finally realized my dream of buying a truck and trailer, but it's been so cold. And I've only used the truck to go to the dump. It's not all glamorous, is it? Julianne says, the gallon of EcoVet fly spray that I won at the Thoroughbred Makeover Silent Auction finally came in the mail. But now the flies are gone. I always buy, like, in Arizona, we buy mosquito halt at the end of the mosquito season and just save them till the next year.
How did I miss the silent auction at the makeover?
Oh, my God. Well, because you couldn't sign. You couldn't write. You had to go online and do it. And I didn't have enough cell service, so I didn't buy anything.
Yeah, cell service was terrible that weekend there.
Yeah. Lindsay says, my dad took me shopping for new fox hunting gear as an early Christmas present. But I'm not allowed to use it until Christmas.
Okay, that's just rude because fox hunting season will be over by then.
It's you like talk the
to your dad. You have your dad. We'll call him. Just send a number. We'll talk to him for you.
No, I'm with your dad because Lucas is constantly asking for early. Can we just get that early? Like, no. Can we have Christmas early? No.
he's working all angles, huh?
Yeah. He's like, can we do Christmas like at Thanksgiving? No.
Yeah, but if you're getting something that can only be used in a season and the season's going to be over by the time you get it and he's already bought it.
Suck it up, Buttercup.
And you know what it is. March. I'm with her. I'm on her side.
They fucks until March. by the way, I would totally be with her if I wasn't constantly having this argument with my child. Bonnie says, yesterday I picked up my 7-year-old from spending the afternoon with my mom, and she gave me 2 grocery bags of bread and cinnamon rolls made fresh that day, and now I'm bloated. That is not an equestrian problem. It is just funny.
That's a problem. That's a scale problem.
Kimberly says, oh my God, you guys, I got a killer deal and a pair of navy blue custom ordered dressage boots at a silent auction. But now I have to break them in. They're custom. You shouldn't have to break them deep. She's a dressage queen, man. Ugh, ridiculous. Jessica says, I am currently sitting in a Starbucks working and I really need to use the bathroom. But that means I'll have to close my laptop and take it into the bathroom with me. And then I'll have to open everything back up and then reconnect to the internet when I come back out. And that just seems like a lot of work.
And it is a problem. I've had this problem too. And I've actually contemplated leaving it there and taking my chances.
Oh, yeah.
I've had this problem. It does seem like a pain in the ass.
I need to go to the bathroom. Can you wash my stuff? Cool. I do that at the airport all the time. I'm like, I know I'm not supposed to leave bags.
Yeah, that's probably a bad idea.
But like, hey, I really don't want to take this
come
child.
Out. The police are going to surround you.
And 2 backpacks into the bathroom.
I know, because then you can't just carry your laptop in. You got to put it away because you don't want it out when you're going to the bathroom. So no. It's like, ugh.
Oh, God.
That's a real problem right there.
TJ says, my horse is like no challenge to train. And so now I have to train other people's horses.
It's a common thread through our auditors today.
Man, it's really sad. Now, I have a couple, Glenn. More than one. I have 2, to be exact. Do you have any first world equestrian problems?
No, I'm good today.
You're good today?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, except for the computer thing.
Yeah.
You know, going to the bathroom. I am currently building a new house. Because I've been living in this 800 square foot cracker box and it's awesome to watch the new house be built. But now I'm having to start to pick stuff out and I just literally don't care. I just don't want to live in here anymore. What color would you like the cabinets? How about the floors? What shade? You know what?
Isn't it amazing how hard those decisions really are?
Let me tell you how hard I made this decision. Okay. He goes, we need to pick out a color for the outside of the house. And I was like, no, I want it white. And he was like, okay. Well, there's 37 shades of white. I need you to pick which one. And I was like, listen, pick the whitest white. It's like,
why do you want it white? You want to see it from space?
I want it white. It's a white farmhouse and that's what it's going to be. And he's like, well, there's like 112 shades of white. I'm like, just do the whitest white. It's like,
and then
I
gotta
got
pick
married
the trim too,
in my wedding dress. I was like, what color do you want your wedding dress? I want it white. What shade of white? White. Leave it alone. White. And he was like, I do not understand, because like I build custom homes and most people will take 2 months to decide what color white they want. He's like, you guys are super easy. And then, but like,
oh,
the
trim.
Rest of
what
it,
did you say on trim color? Because there's, that's not white. You're not making it.
I'm not there yet. I'm currently having to meet with him on Wednesday to talk about the color and the shades of our cabinets and what cabinets we want. It's pull out cabinets. Which ones do we want? It's drawers and what type of fronts for the drawer. Oh my
to,
God.
To tell him you don't cook. You don't care.
I do cook. Just and kidding. I don't care, because I don't. Here's the deal: I cook, but Chad cleans. That's the deal. You want me to cook, you clean. I started that right at the beginning of a relationship, and it's amazing. Like after dinner, I just sit there and I walk in the kitchen, and it's like clean. It's great. Now, my other first world equestrian problem. It's not very equestrian. It's like kind of equestrian, but like I'm going on vacation this week. Like, what's today? Monday. And on Thursday, I'm going out of town and we have yet to decide. But I think I figured out where we're going to go on vacation, Glenn. Are you ready for this?
Yeah, I'm ready.
We're going to go to St. Kitts and Nevis.
Where?
Exactly. Nobody knows where this is. It's an island in the middle of the ocean, and it's we're gonna.
I know cruise ships stop there. That's about all I know.
Yeah, it's not. It's like a tiny, tiny, tiny little island.
Does American fly there, or do you have to take
American flies
job?
There?
Oh, okay.
So we have this app, right? As a employees, and you go on this app, and you can see what. See what planes have open seats. And so there's one that's called Best Bets, and you just select it, and there's like a list of places that have a lot of seats open, and you can pick like only like 5 days out.
Amazingly, so, nobody wants to go to St. Kitts on Thanksgiving.
No, the week before, nobody is going. There's like 127.
Oh, nobody goes away at all the week before. It's a good week to go to Disney too, by the way.
Why do you think we're? No, it's not a good week to go to Disney. Last week was a good week to go to Disney. It's starting to ramp up this week.
Because
okay. I looked. But we decided to go to St. Kitts and Nevis. So here's my problems. First of all, I say we're going to St. Kitts and Nevis, and people are like, "What? Where is that?" First thing.
It's probably not going to be action packed.
I'm saying it's Nevis, and my husband is saying it's Nevis, and I don't know how to pronounce it. Do you?
I've heard Nevis on the podcasts about cruising.
Okay, Nevis then. We'll go with that.
That's what I've heard. I don't know if it's right.
When I get there, should I rent a car or should I like rely on public transportation?
It's probably 2 square miles. There's probably one Uber driver that can take you around.
Apparently there's like a lot of taxis. They don't have.
Oh yeah. Cause their cruise ships stop there. So you're going to have plenty of transportation. I wouldn't rent a car. There's nothing to see. So you don't have to worry about that. You'll just be on the beach.
And then the other thing is like, I have to take 3 flights to get there. I have to fly from Oklahoma City to Dallas and then Dallas to Miami, then Miami to St. Kitts. And it's like, oh my God.
All right. Your
like,
first world problem is starting to piss people off. So we're going to go right into this commercial and to our first guest.
I'm connected to the shoulder bone. Shoulder bone connected to the leg bone. The leg bone connected to the foot bone.
The leg bone connected to the foot bone is a humorous reminder of how things are connected and dependent upon each other. But all humor aside, the health of your horse's muscles and bones are key to his overall health and performance. At Omega Alpha Equine, they know just how important your horse's entire musculoskeletal system is to his health and happiness, so they offer a variety of different all-natural liquid supplements. Omega Alpha Equine, all-natural supplements based on science to help all of your horse's connected parts stay healthy and perform at their best. Ask for Omega Alpha Equine supplements at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
Now we're going to head to Canada, Alberta, Canada, and we're going to talk to Lee McLean. We're going to give her a call right now, and we're going to talk about something that I didn't even know existed. So we're going to also find out what it's like in Alberta, which just does sound like one of the most beautiful places ever to ride a horse. So let's. Hello, good morning. Is this Lee?
It sure is.
Hey, Lee, you're on the air, and you have Glenn and Jamie. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm fine, thank you.
Well, we just introduced you, and I said you're probably in one of the most beautiful places ever. I have not been there, but I've seen pictures of Alberta, and riding a horse there must be amazing.
Well, I'm sitting here right now waiting for you, drinking coffee, and the sun just came over the big hill. Our old house lives in the shelter of a big hill, and it's pink, and I look out the other direction, and the Rocky Mountains are all rosy. It's pretty good spot.
Yeah, not bad. Even in the winter.
Glenn, there is nowhere that could be more beautiful for horses in Alberta, because that's where Heartland is filmed. Hello.
It does get a little windy. We never talk about that.
Do you know Amy? Like, have you been to her house for dinner or anything? I mean, because she's like super.
Oh, heaven help us. Like, are you serious? I'm this 55-year-old house frau. No, I haven't been there for dinner. I have, however, been, I was hired to be on Heartland once to be a servant.
See, you were invited to dinner. You just had to serve it.
I was serving drinks. I had to hide mine, because you know what happens to hands and fingernails when you're horsey, right?
Oh, Lord. Lee, are you talking directly into your phone, not on the speaker?
I'm directly on my phone. Is it not sounding very good?
No, I think we can make it work. All right, so let's talk. One, I want to talk to you a little bit about living in Alberta. It's a huge horsey area, right?
Yes. The thing about where I am, and I'm in southern Alberta, okay? Once you head up north, the population gets sparser. The winters are longer, and it is harder for people. Where I live, it doesn't matter what discipline I would choose to be in. I could be anything from polo to jumpers, because I'm 45 minutes away from Spruce Meadows, working cow horse. It doesn't matter. I am surrounded by people who are at the absolute best in the sport. And so, you know, we think we have to go to the States. Pardon me. I know you're all wonderful people, but we're so lucky here because we have some really awesome help and knowledge right here at home.
Yeah, I knew that about the area. And of course, you're not too far from Calgary, which we'll talk about a little bit later, because you did something. That's been on my bucket list, to go to the Calgary Stampede, and you got to do something there that I think is pretty cool. But let's talk about side saddle, Western side saddle. First of all, we've talked a lot about English side saddle. I didn't even know there was Western side saddle.
It evolved because when the West was settled, at least in Canada, and Canadian history is a little different, Canada was settled with the help of the Northwest Mounted Police, and a lot of English remittance men, we called them, and they were generally the sons that were not inheriting. They'd not gone into the military, and they'd not gone into the priesthood sort of thing. They got sent to Alberta. And this is back in the 1880s. Okay, so pay your son, you know, your fourth son, a pile of money, and send him to Alberta so that he can go and ranch. And so our area grew up with a lot of old English names. They came with their linens and their silver and everything else to go live in these soddy huts. But in addition to riding side saddle English, which most of the ladies that came with these men, There wasn't the household help to be looking after wasp-waisted habits and silk hats and veils. So saddle makers just started building stock saddles for the ladies, and they just happened to be side saddles, of course. Technically, they're the very same to ride. So if I'm teaching equitation to anybody side saddle, it's the very same.
So now you actually do reining with your side saddle, is that right?
No, I was just working my horse. I train my horses. So, you know, we have Western performance horses here, so he's just working on his turnarounds and whatnot. All horses that are working cattle have to understand how to turn properly over their hocks, move their front ends around. I was just schooling on my horse, and that picture was taken.
Ah, yeah. Okay. Got it. And you're actually an English trainer as well, right, Jumper?
Yeah, you know, I come from an era when people did not specialize. People were really all around. So I, at age 14, I grew up with the Hunter ponies and driving, carriage driving. At age 14, I apprenticed as a working student with a German dressage teacher who barely spoke a word of English. And I rode with her until I ran off to get married with my ranching husband. And the rest, as they say, is history.
Now, these are hard to find, and I know a lot of people with English-side saddles, they actually get them and they restore them. And I have a note here that you kind of do the same thing?
I do. So I ride and train horses all summer, fall, spring. And what nobody likes to talk about with beautiful Alberta is that the winters can be brutal, and so the horse training kind of gets hit and miss. And so what I do to keep my horse fixed is I either build side saddles or I restore the old ones.
Got it. And I knew that that's – are they even making – do they make new side saddles, by the way?
They do.
Okay, I wasn't sure.
And I don't know if I'm going to comment on them or not. I don't find the workmanship. I mean, it's just like everything else. You know the way old cars are and old furniture?
Yep.
It's just like, it's from an era when people apprenticed for years and time wasn't really worth anything. And so you were expected to spend a long time when you built things. That seems to have changed. So we see all these saddles sort of being held together with nails and rivets and things, and I don't know, it just doesn't seem like the sort of thing I want to put on my horse, but that's maybe, you didn't hear that from me.
I didn't. Nobody's listening, so you're good.
So, I like the old stuff. Oh man. So with all things, whether it's English or Western side saddles or whatever, what actually, they're hard to find. What tells us what saddle we're actually going to use very often is our horse, what saddles fit our horse best. And then everything else comes secondary.
Are you riding quarter horses? What are you riding?
I ride everything. But I'm in ranch country. I'm a ranch girl. So predominantly, predominantly quarter horses. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But we've had thoroughbreds and Arabs and a couple of warm bloods and lots of Welsh ponies and cobs, yeah.
Now, I saw a video, and I mentioned the Calgary Stampede. It's something I've always wanted to do, and I think all of our listeners know what it is. But you got to be one of eight women to do something unique, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was crazy. It was crazy. Glenn, we were just treated like stars. The whole city just really, really, really loved this idea of the fact that when we went to the Stampede to race side saddle for the first time, it's in front of 45,000 people. Okay, it's surreal, and I had a few people say, "Why are you wanting to take women back in time when we've worked so hard to have the vote, wear pants, blah blah blah," and it came as a surprise because we were actually thinking of honoring women that came before us, all that they could do. It's like Ginger Rogers and Fred Astaire, you know. Ginger could do everything Fred could do, except she was on high heels. So side saddles a little the same way. And it was just so beautiful. People from all different cultures were just really touched to think that we were doing this and honoring the women that came before us.
And there's always two ways to look at everything, and you can choose the negative way or the positive way, and you chose the positive way, and so
that is so true, Jamie. That is so true. And I mean, for me, side saddle, there's several reasons why I might want to ride side saddle. Maybe I love history. Maybe I love women's history and emancipation. Maybe I'm just a clothes horse, and I am. I love the clothes. There's always a new challenge. You know, if you've got a horse that's getting a little jaded or you're getting jaded on showing your event or whatever, there's health reasons to ride side saddle, too. So if I've had a hip replacement, you know, that spreading the hip apart on a wide horse is actually hard on us as we age or as our joints wear out. So I say to everybody, if you can ride a bar stool, you can ride a side saddle. So all of these different reasons, you know, many of us that were doing this were coming at it from a different way. But the big thing is if you do it and you learn your techniques, you're sitting really straight with your horse, your balance, You've got to be able to do this so that you don't cause harm to your horses, because side saddle can hurt horses' backs. So, you know, with that in mind, always with the wellness of the horse, it was just so much fun. It really was.
And, Jamie, to give you a perspective, they were riding on a track. It was a race. So.
Yeah, it was a race. Now, this year, I actually announced with Bob Tallman. All of your rodeo fans will be going, whoa, because, I mean, he's a legend in rodeo announcing. So I promised my mother that while she was alive, I would not go back and race, because I am a stroke survivor, by the way. So racing side saddle at the Calgary Stampede probably wasn't part of my doctor's wellness plan. But to hear that wall of people screaming when those horses came around the track, and they had clocked that winning horse, I don't know, he was. I think 58 kilometers an hour or something. He did the track anyway, the same speed the chuck wagons do. They're moving. Wow. This was no canter in the park, right?
Wow.
These are racehorses.
Wow. Yeah. Very cool. That's awesome.
Neat.
What a cool experience. And you know what? It might not have been part of your doctor's wellness plan, but mental wellness is important as well. And that had to be something that just blew your mind. It was so fun.
It blew my mind. It was so fun. And, you know, one of the things that and I think you folks found me, I don't know, on Facebook, I think it was, one of the things that's really been a thing for me is to start blogging and talking in my diary about aging and illness and recovery and fear and depression, all these things that can visit us eventually, if they already haven't done so. And I think it's something that a lot of people really like to think about and talk about, is how do we stay on top of the game, still having fun in our lives, still learning, still having adventure. There's so many people that we can see and hear from who are champions and who are at the top of their game. And then there's the rest of us just trying to, put one foot in front of the other and do our best. So it's been really fun sort of speaking to that tribe.
Well, before we wrap here, and we're running out of time, I wanted to mention you have a book coming out. Is it out yet, or is it coming out soon?
New book alert. Yeah. No, it's out. It's out. It's available online. It's called Horse Woman, and it's notes on living well and riding better. Lots of side saddle pictures and stories in it, but it's based on the 45 years that I have kept a riding journal through all of my own teaching and riding. So it's pretty eclectic, but it's been a labor of love, and I sure would love for some of your followers to take a look at it.
It's at redbarnbooks.ca. You can find it there. We'll put a link in our show notes as well. It's called Horse Woman by Lee McLean, signed deluxe edition. You can get it. You can actually get the signed deluxe edition there. So check.
I'm actually sitting here signing away as we speak.
Well, good. You know, what a great Christmas gift, too. It
I'll
really
also
would be.
Be appearing at Art of the Cowgirl, which is down at Phoenix, Arizona, in January 24th to 26th, 2020, to talk about side saddle with my daughter.
Sounds good. So, what's your website, real quick?
What's my website?
Yep.
You can just tell people can find me here on Facebook. That's all I do.
Okay.
On Keystone Equine. And the tagline under it is Living Well, Riding Better. And it's just storytelling, nothing to sell, just sharing my love of the horse.
Sounds good. Well, you enjoy the rest of your winter up there in Alberta. And thanks for letting us get to know you a little bit better.
It was my great honor to be here. Thank you, Glenn and Jamie. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Have you ever been to that part of Canada?
Let me just tell you, every Canadian is nice. It gets proven over and over and over again. They're just all nice.
I've never been to that part. I do want to go there. That's on our list of bucket things to do.
I've only been to Toronto, so I need to explore Canada. I'm dying to go to Vancouver and Calgary. There's so much to see up there.
Well, we're
going
to...
I'm not going now. It's winter there.
No. Wait till the spring and summer. We're going to do a WinTech commercial for you here, and then we're going to go to Deanne is up next.
Coach Jen here, HRN Chaos Control Officer and host of the Horse Tip Daily Show here on Horse Radio Network. Longtime Horse Radio Network fans know that I'm a big fan of WinTech saddles. I've been riding in them for about 20 years now. Whether I'm eventing, showing in dressage, or fox hunting, or hitting the trail at an endurance competition, I know my saddle fits my horse, and it's going to hold up to the toughest conditions and look great doing it. You may be wondering exactly which saddle do I use for this varied group of disciplines? Well, WinTech makes saddles for every discipline. That's how. I have several. And WinTech doesn't sit on their laurels. 2019 brings even more innovation to the saddle range, so head out to your local tack store and have a sit-in one. Or you can contact your favorite online retailer, arrange a test ride, or check them out online at wintechsaddles.us.
And of course, WinTech is giving the grand prize away at Radiothon, which, by the way, is 2 weeks from today. Don't forget to ask off. I noticed one of your question first world problems is they couldn't get off, but a lot of people are asking off. December the 2nd is when that is. Tomorrow, here on Horses in the Morning, the Certified Horsemanship Association will be here tomorrow.
It's time to head over to Horse Nation. We've got the editor of Horse Nation, Deanne Sloan, on with us. Hey, Deanne.
Hi, how are you this morning?
Man, happy to have you on. Happy to have you here. And one of the things, first of all, before we get straight into it, because I'm dying to talk to you about this first one, this first article. What's your horsey life like? We need to get to know you a little bit.
I don't know. I guess be more specific. Let's see. My horsey life. Well, right now I am sitting in my truck. So in my mobile studio, staring out the window at the pasture of a horse pacing at the gate and neighing at me because she's mad that her friend is not back out with her, which may sum up my horsey life. But realistically, I own a thoroughbred mare that we're getting started in cowboy mounted shooting together. We competed in the 2018 thoroughbred makeover. So we're in our, let's see, I've owned her then for, I don't know, I guess 2 years now.
What did you compete in the makeover?
Ranch work and competitive trail.
Okay. Gotcha. Now you've decided to take that over to the mounted shooting division. That's awesome.
Yeah, that was kind of always the goal. But that first year, I mean, I'm certainly not a horse trainer. I kind of just wanted to see how far I could get on my own. And then once we came home from the makeover, I sent her off to a professional to be started in mounted shooting. And after a summer of trying to figure out some mystery lameness and now having it nailed down, we are back to competing.
Fantastic. What I just competed in the makeover as well this year, the 2019 one. What do you think the biggest challenge of the makeover was?
That's an interesting perspective because I was a steward this year. So now I have this kind of like multifaceted view of it. So I'm trying to think as a competitor. So for me, I don't have an extensive showing background at all. So that was the first time I had ever shown at like a really big show. Mm-hmm. So that was just kind of overwhelming and kind of, I guess, trying to get control of my own nerves was pretty challenging. And I don't think that's as much of an issue for more seasoned competitors. But I do think that with that 10-month training time period, I think that it's really important for competitors, seasoned or otherwise, to manage their expectations. And I'm not saying set the bar low, like by any stretch of the imagination. I'm just saying that these are green horses and that does change things a bit, right? Like the makeover, we do things just a little bit differently there so that we are catering to the greener horses. And I think that that can be a hard thing to come to terms with and to get used to and to accept. And then on top of it, you've got like what, 10 different disciplines. And I think that that also just can make it challenging for people who are used to, like for the barrel racers who are used to barrel races, like running a specific way. And I'm sure that that's the same for like the polo players or the show jumpers or whatever. Like the makeover doesn't run like that. It runs kind of on its own program and in its own format. And I think that can be difficult for people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, to me, I think the hardest part was just preparing your horse for an environment like that. If you don't do all the big shows all the time, which I don't, it's definitely a challenge to take your horse out of the trailer and have them not go, what the hell?
Right.
So that definitely,
oh, anyway, there were some going, what the hell? That's for sure.
Right. I don't know that horse. What are you talking about? That would never happen in a dressage arena that where Rolex has its dressage or Land Rover. So I would never, that would never happen to me.
I'm lucky. I'm blessed with a pretty quiet mare. She only had one real baby moment. Unfortunately, it was during the remount after the ground tie in ranch work. Like, even this year, I had another like volunteer turn and look at me and she was like, oh, you're the horse. Yours was the horse who bucked in hand. I was like, thanks. Yes, it was. And like my scorecard, you could see where we had bonus points that they were like erased. And I was like, darn it.
Oh, bummer. Well, my green moment just came in dressage when he just could not handle the atmosphere of that huge place. But the rest of it, he was fantastic. So, you know, you just got to pick and choose your battles. Like you said, manage your expectations and know that it doesn't quite work the same. Anyway, I wanted to talk to you about the article that you wrote, and I'm glad Glenn is here today because Marcella wrote an article called A Letter to the Non-Horse Guy Trying to Date a Horse Girl. This one had to be fairly popular.
Wait a minute.
Popular.
Was it short? It just said one word, run? Is that what it said?
It should have.
I love the it was like a meme and it says, it's a picture of the ears of the back of a horse and it says, my boyfriend thinks I won't make him ride a horse at least once. Let's all laugh together.
And sometimes that's the only once is all we do.
You know what? I've learned, like, I don't want you to ride. You just leave me alone. It's cool.
Right? My husband has never been on one of my horses.
Really? Has he ever been on a horse?
Once. He's ridden a horse one time and it wasn't one of mine.
Now, and it are you while secretly we were hoping in your teenage girl fantasy way that he would join you in riding and you'd ride across the beach together? And
you know, not
that'd
really
be a no.
But we've been married for 15 years, so like maybe I used to think that. I don't know.
I love the picture, and it's a picture of a boy texting a girl, and it says, when are you going to be done riding? And there's a picture of a girl sitting on a horse texting, dark.
right. And I feel like that hits home for so many of us. And I don't, you know, we're like, I'll get a text where it's like, his isn't, when are you going to be home? His is always, how's it going? And I'm like, ... great.
That's our way of saying in a polite way, when are you going to be home? That's
still here. Yeah, that's feed yourself.
I got to say that when we first started dating, that because I had never dated a horsewoman, I always dated people like with regular jobs. So they were done at 5, you know? I'd never had that lifelong commitment thing from anybody I was dating. And that was the hardest thing to get used to and to accept was the, the horse is injured. I'm going to be, or we got a colic going. I'm not going to be there tonight. When I just drove an hour and a half to go on a date, you know? So that was the hardest
thing
to accept.
Apparently, it worked out for you in the end. You did marry her, so.
Well, I did learn. I think you learn very, you either learn or you get lost. I learned very quickly. I'd just go to the barn and hang out because what else? Either that or I had to go home, you know? So,
right.
I mean, that's the only two options I had at that point.
Like, Jen's barn mates were like, why does your boyfriend always come all dressed up?
That was the other thing. I very soon learned to bring a change of clothes in the car.
Nice.
You do learn that. But I think some guys just get gone. Just like, I'm not dealing with this.
Yeah, I love the next one is a picture of a dog, and it's like staring sullenly into the camera, and it says, when your boyfriend says, do you really need another horse? And the response is, IDK, John, do I really need you? As Glenn says, you just get gone.
You just get gone.
I mean, I'm kind of dealing with a different side of this, which is I have a 6-year-old and he gets home from school and it's kind of been, it's cold in the mornings. And so I get all my barn chores done in the morning and then I ride in the afternoons until it gets dark. And he's like, Why are you always riding horses? I want you to play with me. You don't play with me ever. You're riding horses. Why do you ride horses?
A six-year-old guilt trip.
Yeah. Oh, God. It is just amazing how quickly they just learn that. And I'm like, I ride horses like till dark. You know what? When are you going to not ride horses? I don't know. When it rains. I'll play with you when it rains.
And also, I say this as the wrangler of three small children. Your job is not to entertain them. Like, go find a stick. Go hit something.
I sound like my mom. Bad. Go out and play and don't come back till dark.
Do you know what I did is I set up an archery target. Like because I did mounted archery at the makeover. And so we kind of got all the archery stuff sitting around. So he's got his own like little archery zone where nobody's going to get shot or anything. And he just goes over there and he'll shoot archery while I'm working in the round pin. I mean, I can see him. He's not going to shoot me. we've got activities. You find one. You know what? Go down to the pond and throw sticks in the water, okay? That's what you should do. Six.
When exactly. Do you have time to ride with three of them?
Yeah.
Well, my youngest two are in preschool. My oldest one's in regular school. So, you know, I do it during the day. Or, you know, much to my husband's dismay, when he gets home from work, I'm like, bye.
Here's the kids.
You have twins?
I do. I have 4.5-year-old twins.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, yeah, it's crazy. My kids are pretty feral, so if I just embrace that, it's fine.
Oh, yeah, that's the only way you can be.
Your kid is right. Not half as feral as Jamie's kid.
I'm like Lucas.
He didn't wear clothes for the first 5 years.
It's 6.5. I'm like Lucas, it is 38 degrees outside. You have got to put clothes on. Like, seriously,
mine still get like spontaneously naked. I don't know. I think it's a kid thing. Like, good on him.
Sounds good. Just go. Whatever.
Whatever. Like, cover up your parts before the neighbors see. Have a nice night.
We would be friends.
God, you two are the exact opposite of most parents today. You know, you hear about the helicopter parents, but they don't have horses.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. I am a helicopter enough over my horses. I can't do it with my children too.
God, there's only so much you can stare at and worry about. Pick something.
Did you ever date a guy before the husband that got gone because of horses?
No. See, I have an interesting horse background. We had horses when I was very small, then my parents sold them. So I didn't have horses until after I was married, which was like a huge mistake by my husband because he didn't know what he was getting into.
And by then,
did you hear the disdain in her voice when she said, "My parents sold them"? You're bitter. You're still angry. I don't blame you.
I'm still bitter, man. I think like, God, I would be so much better of a rider if I had been doing this when I like wasn't afraid of the ground.
When you still
bounced. Oh my gosh, this is fantastic. Last thing that I wanted to talk to you about real quick is five things that give equestrians nightmares. And I'm not talking, these are not nightmares for me. These are full-on anxiety attacks that happen at 3 o'clock in the morning and I have to like get dressed. And the first
and,
one
like,
is
super real, right?
God, this is too real. Thing number one. Oh my gosh, this happened like three nights ago. Chad, my husband, was in bed and I just jump up and he's like, what happened? I'm like, I left the hose on. No, I didn't. I did not leave the hose on. But that feeling that you get when you think you left it on and you can't lay there anymore. You have to check because you're like, I'm currently drying out my well.
Everybody who has flooded a field, raise your hand.
Yeah. Hands are raised.
Yeah, mine too.
This one I actually
the worst
did.
Is once you leave the barn, you don't realize you left the hose on and you get a Facebook message with a picture from another person at the barn. And it's just like the flooded field.
I flooded stalls. I flooded fields because it seems like such a damn waste of time to stand there and watch the water fill the bucket. So you go do something else and you totally forget. You come back and the whole stall's flooded and you have to change all the bedding out and your wife gets mad at you. And I haven't done that at all.
Yeah,
never. Never. Not once.
Tell me it doesn't seem like a waste of time to watch the water fill the bucket.
So ours, like, we have like the big, like, I don't know how many gallon like troughs in each of the field with a spigot that like is next to
hour.
It. So I throw the hose in there and go continue with my chores.
Yeah.
Every time.
And then flood the field.
Every time. Well, you guys can read these articles on horsenation.com. Deanne, real quick, where in the world are you?
I live in Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh. Oh.
Okay. Yeah, I know. Sorry. Not on the list of top 1,000 places I ever thought I would live.
Let's try that again. Dan, where in the world are you?
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Oh, wow, that's a great place. Delightful. I've driven through
it's
Pittsburgh.
Lovely. You should visit.
Yeah, I've driven through it. Whenever. Everybody drives through it on the turnpike.
Yes, that's right.
That's a nice place.
It has a beautiful river and there's a bridge. That's what I know about Pittsburgh.
Like three rivers.
Oh, okay. I've seen one.
I've been to Pittsburgh. I have no comment. Dan, thank you again. Horsenation.com. Hope you have a wonderful day and wonderful week. And we'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Sounds good. We'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Well, that's going to be it for today. Thank you for joining us, everybody. We really appreciate it. Tomorrow's a Certified Horsemanship Association. And then Jamie will be back here. You're going to be here on Wednesday, right?
I'll be here on Wednesday. Going to
some island.
Nevis, apparently. Yeah.
It's two square miles. You could probably rent a bike. You don't need to rent a car. You could rent a bike.
If anybody has been there, there's a volcano in the middle of the whole thing. It's just like kind of goes around and there's a volcano in the middle. And I don't know. There's all sorts of cool stuff to do. Hike volcanoes and rainforests and there's monkeys everywhere. Anyway, if anybody's ever been there and can offer me some travel advice, please. Wait, hold on. My inbox is not dinging at all.
There'll be somebody that was on a cruise that stopped in St. Kitts. There's somebody.
I don't know. Maybe the airport
big enough for an airplane?
I don't know. Well, I hope hopefully because they fly there twice a day. So Chad, this is my airline pilot husband. I'm like, here, look, there's 127 seats available to St. Kitts Nevis. And he was like, what? We fly there?
So what he's never that? Flown there.
He's never flown there. He's never heard of it. I mean, he's like, I think I've heard of St. Kitts before, but I've never heard of Nevis. And I was like, it's Nevis. And he's like, it's Nevis. Never.
Well, that ought to be an interesting adventure. You know what size airport it is when there's two flights a day?
Yeah, well, yeah. This is two flights from Miami on American. So I'm sure that there's more than just that.
From somewhere.
Listen, it is from the very far end of the island to the other far end of the island. It's like 20 miles, Glenn.
You could rent a bike. Mm-hmm. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it. Remember, it's the last chance to get your voicemails in today for Radiothon. HolidayRadiothon.com is where you
Spay,
go.
Spay, neuter, geld. Have a good one. Bye.
And what did we learn today?
Ugh.
Canadians really are nice. We've just not broken that mold yet.
And I just... glad I don't have to date anymore. God.
You notice I didn't ask you that question.
What?
Did any guy leave you because of horses? Because I really thought it would be a 2-hour answer. So
you should ask because I dumped them all.